Welcome to Boom 7, Meet the Owner, with your host, Stephen Dryden Hall, the podcast where we explore intriguing stories of local business pioneers. Each episode will unravel the unique journeys of entrepreneurs who have ventured into the world of business, faced challenges, and carved their path to success. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or budding business owner, or simply curious about the behind the scenes of local businesses, you're in for a treat. We'll explore the highs, the lows, and the valuable lessons learned along the way. From radio stations to finance companies, marquee businesses to top-end sports cars. Each episode brings you a VIP seat into the dynamic world of entrepreneurship. Get ready for inspiring stories, insightful conversations, and a peek into the minds of those shaping the business landscape. So get your ears on, join us on this journey. This is Meet the Owner, where business stories come to life. Let's go, people.
Welcome to Boom 7 Meet the Owner. We were going to have a guest, Chris, but they're busy in their business, so I think the first podcast we're going to do, Chris, is
talking to me.
Talk to you. You're a business owner. You've had a few in the past. In fact, you've got more than one, so why not start with having a chat with you? So you're obviously in radio. You've got a DJ business. How did you get into music?
Very good question. And well, I'm very happy to be on your first podcast, Steve. So thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I don't know. I've been doing music for a long time. I think I got into radio, first of all, through when I was at school, I ran away to sea. That was probably the beginning. There used to be a boat off the coast of Kent called Radio Caroline. Okay. And when I was doing my A-levels, I decided to ring them up, tell them I was an expert, and they got me on board without realizing I was 15, I think, at the time.
And I think the blagging, that I think you have got this mentality that you can talk very well. So have you always had that, where you kind of can just talk your way into things and out?
Yeah, I think that was probably part of the problem. So my mum had to come into the school and say, oh, Christopher can't come into school today to do his A-level mocks because he's run away to sea.
Wow.
And yeah, so I became a bit notorious. But yeah, I was on the boat for 3.5 weeks, and not intending to, but the weather was quite stormy and it was all very much unofficial. So it was quite hard to get people on and off the boat. So you had to wait for a shipping boat to come past and then kind of jump across a 6-foot gap onto the fishing
boat.
So
you went AWOL? Or sort of organised AWOL?
My parents thought I was going for a day trip, but I had no intention of coming back from the day trip.
Wow.
But I thought I would just stay there for a week or two, and I packed a few spare pairs of pants.
Yeah, of course.
But it was an amazing experience.
And if you could look at the one thing you learned in that period, what was the sort of the tip that it comes to now? You've been doing it a long time now, but what did you learn that you'll always sort of bring to business in radio?
Don't underestimate a 15-year-old, I think.
Yeah. It's a good point, actually, because, you know, we're sort of taught to go to school, do exams, get a job, get a mortgage. But actually, even now, you know, I'm encouraging my children to look at business ideas, you know, whether it's a product or a service that you can offer, or just think about it now. But that's kind of changed over the years, hasn't it? It's quite cool now to be an entrepreneur.
I think there's so much more that you gain in terms of life skills outside of academic work. And I think not just when you're at school, but when you're at university or when you're kind of starting out in life, the stuff that you do outside of work is hugely important. And that's where you get those life skills and you become... When I'm looking for people to be on the radio station, I'm looking for people who've got something to talk about.
Yeah.
There's no point being an expert in radio if you come on the microphone and you're the most dull, boring person ever and you've got no life experience.
No, so, and you know, I don't want to give you a huge head, but I always big you up anyway. But I remember meeting you. I was a marketing manager of a restaurant in Milton Keynes, and I do remember you was with the sales lady, and... I said, oh, I need to get a voiceover. Is there anyone that could do the voiceover for our telephone system? So like a whole music. And you were like, oh yeah, I'll do that. So I'm thinking, well, we'll book you in for a meeting. And you went, no, go and get your phone. And I literally gave you the phone. You did one take and our system was done. And I think from that day, we were friends, weren't we?
And it has just stayed on your telephone system for years.
It's probably still there.
One take wonder.
Well, one take Chris is what I called you. And I always remember, because you were working for a local radio station at the time, And I think I came to you and said, I've got this great idea. I'm going to start the Food Awards in Milton Keynes. And you were like, I've actually got a great idea. I'm starting a radio station. And I remember you showing me the pack, and you become my host of the Food Awards there and then. And you've always helped. I think you even built the website.
Yeah.
Do you remember building the first website? And it was the floating waiter.
It was an amazing website.
The website was great. I'm not sure the logo was great, but it's just really interesting that you've always been really willing to help people. And I don't even know how, it must be 11, 12, 13 years maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you've always went out your way to try and help people. And I think that's why you are successful anyway.
I think that is, yeah, that is my secret to success is don't think, am I going to get anything out of helping this person before you decide whether you're going to do something nice for them. If you're just genuinely helpful, you don't know who that person might know, or nothing might come of it. But the more positive things you put out there, more nice things you do, the more people will want to, you know, 100%. Help you and recommend you. And you can be one of two kinds of people in the world, somebody that's nice and helpful, or somebody that everybody hates and they work with you because they have to, because of what your job is.
That's not cool,
because
is it?
They actually want to.
Yeah, not cool. I remember, so you started that project and it went really well. Do you remember the first time you'd sold for your own business the first piece of advertising? Do you remember that?
I'm still waiting for that
day. Oh, that's not good business.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's difficult because it's quite a creative industry that I work in. And my job encompasses the artistic side as well as the commercial side.
Touching on the commercial side, you know, obviously you need to bring the pounds in to cover the cost and overheads. Yeah. But do you remember the first client that came through, and did that feeling of getting them from a business point of view help you get to the second one? Because once you've got two, you've got three, and then you get the next one, and then you can't, it's like a snowball, isn't it? And sometimes the first client's the hardest. You know, no one knew about that station because it never existed. So
yeah, it's tough, and I think you're right, there is like a snowball effect. But it's the most difficult thing is with a new business trying to sell to people something that doesn't exist in a tangible way.
Well, that's how I started the Food Awards.
Yeah.
You know, how can you sell a Food Awards if it doesn't exist? You've almost got to sell the dream, the actual idea of what it's going to be. And that's probably the same for what you did with your project.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot, it's like being Bob Geldof. You've got to go in there and bang the table and get people excited and say, this is going to be brilliant. You need to be in there from the start. And it's what gets people excited about the project is you're selling yourself more than the business. I think to start with, and it's your passion that comes across, and people buy what you're selling because they trust you and they like you, and they
I think trust is huge. You know, do I trust this person? Are they going to be professional? Is the price right? And are they going to deliver? And I think if you can round that off, you've got a good chance of doing business with people. It's funny how you mentioned the Bob Geldof thing, because again, when I started the Milton Keynes Food Awards, I used that analogy. It was a restaurant. We went to review them. I reviewed the restaurant. Went to go and review another restaurant. They were like, why should I give you free food when I can give 10% off to my customer? And I was like, it's kind of short thinking is what I was thinking. Yeah. So I went to the next restaurant who was friends with this restaurant owner. No problems. Come in. You can have the food. Just shout about us. Give us your honest opinion. Take some photographs. Do a nice write-up and we'll see where it goes. So I had that. So that was almost like your Phil Collins, right? So I had the first act in the food reviewing business that we had. So I went back to the friend and I said, oh, we've just done a review for your friend's restaurant. Do you want a review now? Oh, yeah. Like, if he's got it, we're going to get involved.
And suddenly Bono's on board.
And Bono's in. You know, Bono's coming with his shades and he's ready to go. Now, what you've got is you've got two really good restaurants that are in the Food Awards that doesn't exist.
Mm.
So much easier. And actually what you're trying to do is give value to the restaurants. You want the public to find out where it's good to eat, because we're both like that, trying to eat in independent places as opposed to the chains, and then it's like a snowball effect. And it's probably the same with your model when you started your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing with me is I don't feel like I'm a salesperson.
No.
I feel like I'm forming partnerships with local businesses and helping each other. Kind of 100%. Thing. So finding out what their issues are, what they need help with, and saying, okay, how can we use the radio station to solve this? Yeah, obviously it's going to cost a bit of money if you do some of these things, but we're not just going to do the stuff that you're paying for. We're going to go over and above. And if it means doing interviews in the studio or outside broadcasts or podcasts or whatever, whatever it does to help, we'll do that. But obviously,
I see
business.
I remember you being, and it must have been a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every week. You were always at an event. You had your t-shirts, you had your mascot, you had your vehicle, you had your flags, and you really grafted. And, you know, from an outside point of view, just getting to know you, you were dedicated all the time. Like, you were pushing to push out a brand, and that is probably part of your success now, because you are a grafter. You built my website. Like, you hosted my awards.
I feel like I should say some nice things about you at this
point. No, this is good. I think you left a nice LinkedIn for me once. So it was about 6 years ago. Yeah, I think you're the only one, but this is cold. But it's true. And I think, you know, when you're doing business with people, I think you do need to like them. If you don't like someone, you're not going to do business. Yeah. So it's, that part is very black and white. And then it's about the service, isn't it? But you're also a DJ at weddings. So
yeah, we should
business. Definitely
mention that. So that actually 100%. Is my bread and butter at the moment.
Yes.
So if anyone's getting married, I do high-end
you plug in
wedding discount
services. Yeah.
Well, I'm explaining what my business
is.
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
So what I noticed was a gap in the market, because anybody can be a DJ. Anybody can buy the kit, rock up, plug it in and do the job. But I think when you're getting married, you want a certain level of service.
Of course.
So it's not just about having the best sound system or the flashiest disco lights. It's about caring about the couple, spending time getting to know them, understanding what music they want at the wedding, and then delivering an amazing service that exceeds their expectations. So they leave a good review. So I've got 100% 5-star reviews for my
100%?
Wedding discos. 100%.
Crazy good.
And that's, people say, well, you shouldn't have 100, so you should have a couple of bad ones so it looks genuine.
Why?
Because no one will believe it. But I think when you can see that they're actual couples, especially Facebook reviews, because you can click through and say, is this a real person? Oh yeah, there she is in her wedding dress. That's clearly you know, either I've got hundreds of friends willing to lie for me, or I've
I've got a lot of friends
reviews. Yeah, so, maybe, you know, get them all dressed up in wedding dresses. So that was the start, and then I kind of responded to my customers, because people were saying, well, I really like what you do, but we're getting married in a barn and it's quite rustic and we need something that looks a bit less pristine polished. So I've come up with the rustic wedding discos, which is a wooden disco setup that you can decorate according to what your wedding look is. So you might want little flowers or fairy lights or whatever, and it looks beautiful, but it's a completely different vibe that kind of fits with how people are.
So here's a question. So through my business, I mean, we've got a client who we're helping them build a wedding venue. They were open years ago, successful, shut down, didn't do anything, massive refurbishment, and we're helping them bring in a catering team to hit a standard. We'll do some open days where you've got DJs, flowers, and all the services and cakes. But if someone's getting into weddings, and I'm going to ask that question as a wedding question, so whether they're a videographer, whether they're a DJ, whether they're a cake maker, whether they provide the sachets on the back of the chairs, what are the three things you would do? Now, I know that Hitched is an amazing website that really gets you a lot of leads. So if you think that's one, tell me that. But what are the three things you would say in terms of wedding service? If you work in that industry, what would you tell the listeners to sort of focus on? Obviously, you're going to do quality service, and you know, you've got to do a good job. But to market your business, what would you do if you started?
I went to a lot of wedding shows.
Did you?
Because I felt like the best way for me to stand out from all of the other disco businesses that you find on a Google search or on Hitched or wherever is to meet people face to face and be able to tell them what the difference is. Because for some reason, when you say it to somebody's face, it's a lot more authentic than when you write down, we are different, we are better, we are award-winning, whatever.
Well, especially with robots now. So with AI, you can get your robot to tell you to say that, and actually, it hasn't got that meaning, has it? It's just words coming on a bit of paper. So one, you say, get face-to-face at wedding shows.
Yeah, wedding shows are important, but make sure that your stand represents what you do. Make sure you invest time, not necessarily money, but time in making it look beautiful. So that might mean having a little bowl of sweets on your stand, but think about what sweets. So I had nice kind of purple wrapped up chocolates that looked posh because it's for weddings. I didn't want a, you know, bowl of miniature heroes because it's not, you know, it's not a business expo.
So what you're saying is invest in a little bit of quality, because actually they're sort of the audience are there, aren't they? They're getting married. They're in a buying mood at some point. You need to capture that, right?
Your job is to convince them and to stand out against other people that are doing the same business at the wedding show. So photographers, there's going to be a dozen different photographers, and a lot of them offer almost exactly the same service. So what makes you different? There's going to be loads of people that do the flowers or the chair decorations.
Yeah.
I noticed that the other disco companies at the wedding shows all had very similar booths. Okay. So I'm the only one that has the rustic wooden setup.
So and made people stand out.
Yeah, it? People gravitate towards it because they think, oh, actually, yeah, that fits with what I'm doing for my wedding. And a lot of them have given up with discos because they think, I don't want a spaceship in the corner of my beautiful wedding that looks completely out of place and some, you know, scruffy DJ that's more interested in the buffet than actually playing the music that I want.
You see that, don't you? I mean, when you see a DJ eating before the guests, you just think, what are you doing? You're sneaking in there.
I can write a whole list of things that DJs do wrong that I wouldn't want at my wedding.
This is another show, I think, Chris.
Well, it's about turning up with your own idea of what you're going to play. Yeah. And instead of making it about the couple, making it about yourself. And it's the same in all sales. Yes. It's like, do you think about your business or their business first? And it should always be about your customer.
It's the customer, isn't it? And they're the recommendation, aren't they? They're the person that's going to do the next gig, and it'd be their friends, their family, they're going to recommend that.
Yep.
What's the third thing you do in the wedding? Not just DJing, but if you're getting into weddings and you've got a service, what's the third thing to stand out and actually achieve some business?
I think you've got to make sure that, well, this is the double thing, but you've got to make sure that your online presence is up to scratch, because that's your shop front. That's how people are judging you these days. It doesn't matter how much you're putting into Google AdWords or adverts in magazines and stuff. If people land on your website and your social media and it's not a good representation of your business, then that's how they're going to form an impression.
Of course.
And they'll either make an inquiry or not, depending on what they see there. So spend the time, get your website done professionally.
Yes.
Because you can make your own website, but it's going to look rubbish at the end of the day. And also get some professional help with your social media, because they're going to scroll back through your Facebook and they're going to look at what posts have been on there and stuff. And it's not, you're not doing your own social media. You're presenting your business.
100%.
And talk to someone like Steve, because...
Oh, you know, plugged me. Like, this is a great thing you've done. So I plugged you and you're plugging me. So I didn't know you were allowed to do that on radio, but that's cool.
We can do that.
It's all about front doors for me. I use the analogy, right? If your front door looks battered and unpainted and your flowers aren't there... Actually, my flowers look terrible at the moment. And
you see my front door? It doesn't even open inwards.
Does it not? I've been in that door. It's your front door, and people just flick through social at the moment. We'll talk more social than web, but if it doesn't look even at 5 out of 10, they're going to pass on and go to the next one. If you've got a heavy competition, they're going to make that decision. They're probably going to talk to 3 to 5 different types of companies within that field, whether it's photography, whether it's a DJ, whether it's flowers, cakes. And then by the time they get to you, it's all about the communication. It's about being professional. It's about showing what you've done before. This is what we do. And I think it's being mindful of that, isn't it? You can't just wait for business.
So what would you say your top 3 tips for having a great online presence on your socials?
So I think consistency. You know, if I think about the different businesses I've had over the years, if you had 10,000 flyers, for example, and they were under your desk, it doesn't matter how good that flyer looks, they need to be through the doors, in the offices, being given out through magazines, through the newspapers, if you're going to do that. But in the same terms of being digital, you just got to be regular. And also tell people what you actually do. Some people don't tell the people what you actually do. So do you do websites? Do you do logos? Do you do events? Do you do animation? Tell people that. They don't want to see that on every post. They want to know that person. So second one, put personality into it. It's probably a reason why I'm doing a podcast. Get to know me a little bit, and I want to know lots of other people. And, you know, I hear opportunities where I can help someone, and I think that's like paying it forward, isn't it? If I can get someone a business opportunity, they're going to do really well, and it moves on to the next part. And then the third part in terms of digital is, I think it's a mixture of something that looks clean and designed, something that is a little bit rustic and live, and video. It needs to move as well, and just mix it up. If you've got static images all the way through and it's the same sort of message, people get bored.
Video is so powerful, isn't it? But it's quite difficult to get video content that looks decent without spending some money.
Yeah, and I think there's a thin line. I think you can have something that's rustic but more powerful than something that's super clean. Because you've got to remember, when you invest in a videographer for a day and a day editing, that day's got to bring back quite a lot of money in terms of sales or opportunities for it to pay for itself. The one thing is, like at weddings, once you've got a video, it's there forever.
Yeah.
You know, you can chop that video up, you can overlay it with different animations and almost target different parts of your business by using the same video. So don't just use it as a one piece. So if you had a video for your DJ, and don't just have a minute and a half, chop it up and you might have 15 different posts that you can use throughout the months. But consistency, don't get forgotten. You know, LinkedIn for me, once or twice a week, it's about being heard. It's about opinions. It's about some visual stuff. It's about success stories. I always find that if I talk about how I've helped a client, that's big in their mind. They might win some business. I don't think you can lose. Whether you get one like or you get 100 likes, I'm shouting about my client. And if someone needs, for example, you know, I've got a finance client, I've got a restaurant client, I've got someone that does conservatories. If they get one sale, that's just one post. So, you know, always try and sort of big up your clients. I think it's a really nice tip.
Do you think it's a very British thing to be reluctant not to blow your own trumpet? And I think a lot of people find it difficult on social media to talk about themselves and big themselves up because they, it just doesn't come naturally to you to be saying those sort of things.
I think, yes, a little bit of a British thing. I always see myself as Scottish. So, you know, we're a different breed anyway. But I don't think there's anything wrong about saying that you've got results for your client. You know, that's great. That's good news. And even, I seen a post on LinkedIn a few months ago and someone had done an exam and they failed the exam. And generally you don't see the failures, don't hear about it. Mm. And I bumped into the guy at a networking event and I said, oh, you know, fair play that you've said you have not passed your exams. I said, do you think that was the right move or not the right move? He went, do you know what? The amount of people that came to me and said, look, keep going, and the inspiration he got to continue to try and get that is brave, and I think that's the right thing to do. Just
but was that an exam that was critical to his business competence?
It was, actually. So that's why it was so sort of black and white in terms of, is that the right thing to do? Or actually, do you know what? If we're going to do business with people, we want to do business with people we like and that are honest. But he's now passed, so it's all good. He may have had a bad day, and the pass marks are different for every exam. So,
so having said that, do you think maybe sharing an occasional challenge that you've had to overcome as well as a whole list of successes? Because in anyone's business, there's going to be things that go wrong. Is it good to kind of say, you know, things don't always go perfectly. We had a video shoot at such and such a client and it was a disaster, but look how we've turned it around, something like that?
I think you can put a nice spin on anything. And actually, you know, I'm reading Arnold Schwarzenegger's book at the moment, and it's inspirational. But when you look into it, it does talk about a lot of the things that didn't go well. And you don't see Arnie as like a failure. And he said that, you know, like everyone, and it could be cliche, like, failures aren't failures. They're only failures if you think that you've failed. It's just a learning tool for you to do better for the next one and to learn new lessons. So I think you should be honest. You know, I've had a great year last year for business. Didn't win every gig, didn't retain every gig, but I'm always learning. So that always goes to the next client. And you think differently. I like to be in different industries so you can see how different types of people in different jobs and businesses think and work differently. And that makes me more rounded. And it's got to be the why. Why do you do it as well? So
what would you say has been the greatest challenge that you've overcome over the last couple of years? What's been the biggest kind of temporary setback that you've kind of felt, oh my god, how am I going to come back from this? And then actually you've bounced back and it's ended up okay in the end
as a business owner?
I
think when you start, you're starting from £0. Okay, so there is that worry, can I do this? Then you get your first gig, your first project, and you're like, this is great. Then you get your second one. Then there might be some weeks or days where you're like, oh, where's the next one coming from? And I always say, because my background's marketing, keep marketing. You don't know who's seeing it. You don't know who's talking about you. I'm very much, I know a lot of people, I just seem to talk to something that moves. If you move, I'm going to talk to you. If it's a tree or a human, I'll talk. And because I like helping people, I suppose I was 44 last month. So if you add up the amount of people I've probably spoken to, and I've been in Milton Keynes for 40 years, you know, I'm well connected in terms of knowing people. Because I'm in the business world more so now, I can connect people really easily. And that gives me a bit of a buffer. Whereas if I came to a new city, I'd have to start from scratch, and I'd probably be worried more so about the next gig. But you've got to be positive. You know what the Henry Ford saying? You know, whether you think you're right or wrong, you're right, because it's your attitude that's going to get you to the next place. It's gone well. Like I can't really think of many negative things. I think you're as good as what you put out. So if you're not making calls, if you're not sending emails, if you're not connecting on LinkedIn, if you're not posting on social or having coffees or going to networking, you're just like that leaflet. You're just sitting under the desk, i.e. you're at home, not talking to anyone. I do think the pandemic was a big thing, yeah.
The challenge there is, for me, would be more time management, because these are all things that you know you should be doing, working the socials, posting on LinkedIn, going for coffees with people. But it's like there's not... And because I've got kids now as well, it's finding enough hours in the day to do the day-to-day running of the business and all of the marketing stuff as well. It can be really difficult.
I think putting the right people in the right job is really important. Obviously, you know, there's certain things that if you only took £500 a month and that was your ceiling, how could you afford help in terms of, you know, you might get an administrator for a couple of hours a week. You've got to look at your strengths, do more of your strengths. What's going to bring in the next project? So you're almost sales and marketing in your own business. If it's you on your own or you've got a team, you know you have to choose to do that. And if accounts take a long time, get someone to do the accounts, because actually if they save you 6 hours a month, you could be 6 hours selling the next project. So I think you learn as you go, and you know, time spent on, you know, the more networking and the more I shout about an existing client or a piece of work, more people come and talk to me. So I know that works. So it's just that consistent getting the messages out there.
I think it's about working out what are the things that you have to do yourself that are dependent on you. So that your personality, so the networking and the stuff that people are buying you. And the things that you're doing that actually you could outsource that, or you could delegate
100%.
It and get somebody else to do it to free your time up to be doing the stuff that is all about you.
100%. You know, we've all got our sort of best skills. So for you, for example, you're technical, you can talk, you can listen, you can network, you know, you can build stuff.
The reason I don't do what I've just said that you should be doing is because when I delegate stuff, I feel like it's not done as well as it would be if I did it myself.
Yeah.
And it's about letting go of your standards of quality and deciding to fight the right battles for me sometimes. So rather than doing everything yourself and not delegating because you want it to be done perfectly, accepting that, okay, maybe there's going to be certain details that you notice that nobody else does that aren't perfect, but how much better are you going to be? How much more advertising are you going to sell if you're out there focusing your time on doing that rather than tweaking the website or whatever?
But something has to give, doesn't it? And you know, you've got to, first of all, if you are running a business needs to take money and the business needs to make a profit. So if you look at that rule as a thing, you've got to do your sales and marketing as a priority, because otherwise there is no business. I suppose as you grow, I think businesses need to reinvest. So does that afford a staff member? Does that, you know, does that get you a salesperson? Does that get you someone more technical and kind of grow it from there? But I always say to people when we're doing the show, why do you do what you do and what is your why? Like if you was given £10 million today, right now, in this suitcase, what would you do with it? Yeah, there's no suitcase. What would you do with it?
You got my hopes up there.
It's just behind this TV.
Yeah.
£10 million. Chris Gregg, well done, mate. What are you going to do?
Thing is, my first thought is, what radio stations can I buy?
Oh, my God.
How can I do what I'm doing on a huge scale? I wouldn't run off to a desert island and just sit around on a sun lounger, because I would see that as like, right, amazing. I can buy global radio now. I can take over Capital and Heart and...
But why would you do that? Because in essence, if you're going to buy a business, you're buying a business because you want the business to make money. But you've already got the money. So what you're saying is you want to stay in the creative world, but you don't need to do that. Because
I don't do this because of the money, though. That's the thing. So I do this job because I enjoy it. Yeah. I could earn a lot more money doing something else.
Yes.
But this is the thing. You've got to decide, is this a career or is this a hobby?
Yeah.
And if it's a career or if it's a business, it needs to be making money. It needs to be 100%. Profitable. It needs to be growing, and it needs to be scalable, and it needs to be something that, you know, you can see an opportunity for ongoing growth.
So here's the game changer. So you as a person without kids, which I knew.
Yeah. you, my former self.
And I'm in your boat, by the way. And you... with two children, married, it changes, right?
Yeah.
It's a completely different world. And do you think that what you're doing now, do you think about, oh, do you know what? I want to be successful and earn money so that you can look after them more or pass something to them if they're growing. Like, how do you see that? What's your sort of vision for that sort of stuff?
I'm more thinking, how can I make sure that I'm not crippled by childcare costs and I've got enough money coming in to be paying that.
And that's the prison, right? That's where you're at. Yeah. Okay.
It's so expensive, especially when they're under three.
Yes.
And the government changed the rules, but not until for children that hadn't yet been born at that point. So it doesn't help me at all.
Oh, gosh.
Just means my taxes are going to go up for other people's children in the future. So no great advantage there. But yeah, I think it puts things in perspective. It makes you think about more carefully about what you're spending your money on.
And do you want your children to go into radio or the arts or singing or music?
My children appear on the radio quite a lot.
Oh, do they?
Because they're there in the background shouting at the screen while I'm trying to record a radio show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shush. And you just about kind of hear them in the background if you listen really carefully. I have no idea what they want to do. I think the 3-year-old wants to do anything involving tractors and the 1-year-old anything involving diggers.
Yeah.
So
you need to buy a farm.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
that would work. No, actually, the 3-year-old said that he wanted to be a YouTube influencer.
Interesting.
Indirectly, he said he wanted to be Blippi.
Oh, we know Blippi.
Yeah, that's how you spell his name.
That. Big shout
out. But actually, to be fair, I've got a lot of respect for that guy. He's called Stephen John.
Yeah,
and
he's in the RAF, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he basically reinvented children's entertainment on YouTube.
Yes.
And he just said, this is so awful.
It was
the quality of these videos that these kids are watching on YouTube. I want to do something good quality.
Yes.
And he reinvested that money. He worked really hard, created a studio, and then got bought out, and he's part of Disney now.
Part of Disney? Oh, I didn't know that. So here's what's quite interesting this week. So 3 children. Henley is at his screens like yours every day. I'm going to be a YouTuber. And then you kind of pinch yourself, okay, whatever. And then Harper, she likes dancing, quite smart as well, and you know, she's a little bit younger. And then Hugo's like Blippi, like he's in that zone. But Harper, his sister, made him a YouTube. You know when you get 100,000 subscribers, you get that little plaque?
Yeah.
So Harper's made one out of cardboard, and I thought, oh, you don't give it to him, he'd be like, oh, what's that? And he was like, oh, that's great. So as a parent, I was like, aim for 100,000 subscribers, just go for it. Because you just don't know. And, you know, I will bring him on the show to see the studios. I've already said that before Christmas. You didn't know that, but if I could do that, that'd be great.
Is he making content then?
Yeah, I mean, he's got 18 followers, right? And he's doing a little bit. But that's what he wants. He's started. And do you know what? A lot of people don't start. And whether that is the reality that he will do something great like that and earn a living.
How old is he?
10.
So he could do a podcast. He could come in here and record a podcast.
Well, there you go. Look, opportunities, right? If you put it out there, it should come back. But I think we're sort of moving away a little bit, but I don't think you can go to school and learn some great stuff. I think it's great. You get to learn about your personalities and maths, and you've got to count and write and stuff, and you know, that's kind of the basic stuff. But the kids don't just have to go to school to be a lawyer or a doctor. They can start a business, and they don't have to wait till they're 16. They could start something. And you know, my kids have now got these little bank accounts that are online. I didn't have that when I was younger, but you can teach them. And I think the schools are now teaching them about money and well-being. And it's not all bad out there. I think there's some good things that happen through schooling as well, and you can do your own little business. Why not?
I think there's a lot of schools need to catch up on. and a lot of online stuff, like teaching children what's fake news and isn't.
Yeah, of course.
There's been a lot of stuff in the news about how more than 50% of under 16s can't identify fake news on social media.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So it's the schools haven't, the curriculum hasn't caught up with technology.
No.
And there's an awful lot of stuff to do with online safety and kind of socializing and stuff that just isn't getting taught.
100%. Henley was on a VR headset the other day, and you talk to all these people, and I was like, that sounds like a robot being a kid. Like, is that real? Like, no, that sounds too like a robot. Like,
yeah, you can tell.
100%. And you're like, there is that safety piece, and you know, that is a little bit of a worry. But you know, they just said that, you know, gaming's taken over music and film in terms of numbers. You know, the amount of people gaming and YouTubing.
Mm.
But you've got to embrace it. You've got to be part of it.
It's scary. And then the whole, like what we used to, of actually watching TV programs at a certain time.
Full channels.
When they come on and listening to the radio. It's just, kids these days, they don't really understand that. They want to be able to watch a program when they want to watch it.
Yeah, 100%.
And even like my 3-year-old just saying to him, no, you can't watch Hey Dougie because it's not on at the moment. And he knows that he can find it.
But that's you know, you've got to be flex. That's another tip for business. You know, if you look at the likes of Blockbuster, they could be the Netflix, and they didn't evolve, and you do have to keep evolving what you're doing. You know, you run a radio station. Now it's on screen, then it's a podcast, then you can put it on YouTube. You know, there's so much media now. You can't just do one. You've got to go with the times and sort of lead with it.
Yeah, and this is what we found. Actually, we've done more business with people wanting podcasts than radio advertising.
Oh, wow.
Because they see that as
a
better investment. And, you know, you can see the return on the investment. You can track how many people are watching the podcast and see who they are and stuff.
Big fat zero today.
Well, you know, you might get a viewer.
No, Chris, we're going for it. We're going to have this. This is great. This is the start of Boom 7 Meet the Owner. Don't you worry about that.
But no, podcasts are great because it's, as you say, it's a chance to showcase what you do to your potential customers, for them to get to know you as a person.
100%.
And you know, you talk about elevator pitches, a minute or 2 minutes. When do you get a chance to have half an hour of somebody's attention and just, you know, properly get to know them? And that's what cements those business relationships. And what we find is doing an audio podcast that's also a video, like this one, that you can then take clips of and put on your socials.
Amazing.
You can have a clip on LinkedIn, and you can have it on your website, that can then drive traffic through to the podcast.
Are you plugging again? This sounds like a plug. Sorry, everyone. This is like a little plug, but it's true, though, isn't it?
True.
So true. We've taken a selfie before the show, and I'm going to put it on my LinkedIn, and if one person likes it, cool. If no one likes it, cool. But I'm telling people that I want to meet businesses. I want them to know about your station and your services. So why not tell people?
Why not? And actually, what I would recommend is coming in here, recording a podcast, and then talking to Boom 7 about how to get it marketed and get it visible on all those social platforms.
Wow.
The best way to use those clips to get them monetized and actually drive traffic and drive customers through, how to create a capture form and a kind of have the podcast behind some kind of data capture so that you can find out who your viewers are and then get in touch with them. There's so many clever things you can do.
And if you want to sponsor Boom 7 Meet the Owner at Revolution Radio Station, get access to a DJ, then let us know, because this will go somewhere, and it's all about helping people, paying it forward, having some fun, you know, being topical, you know, what's going on out in the world.
So what is this podcast going to be? What can people expect from this? And what kind of people are you going to be meeting? And who are you going to be talking to?
So I've got a big network. We're going to have Joe from Aqua Parks, which is like on a lake. So if I think of a big bouncer castle on a lake, I'm like, how do you start that? And I met him at a networking event years ago. We've hosted stuff with him and really interested. He's an electrician.
This is the thing. He's got a great story.
Yes.
It's not just about running an aqua park.
No.
It's how did he get to that point? What's his vision for the thing? Last time I spoke to him, he was going to buy a massive site on a lake in Essex somewhere. I don't know if he actually did that.
He's close.
Expand the brand around the country.
And, you know, you don't mix electricity with water. He's an electrician. He's got an aqua park. So that don't make sense. So how, you know, there's things like, I know how he searched for that aquapark. So that intrigues me. That's what I want to tell everyone about and let him tell everyone. I've got a finance company that finance property development. So actually, how do you do that? Do you need a load of money to do that, or can actually you borrow joint ventures? So that's going to be really interesting. Mm. I want to know as well, like, what people do with their money. What's the why? When they get paid, what are they doing with it? Are they helping people? Are they buying a bigger house? Are they going for a sports car? Do they just want to eat in nice restaurants? Do they want to save money because that, you know, it's safe and it's all good? And to let people learn from the people that have already done it and they're doing it. You know, I know a company that's got 20 staff, and I know a company that's got no staff. They consult and they make the same profit. So, you know, what is it all about? Do you need to be around people? It's going to be fun. I'll ask some good questions. You know, like if they swear, I don't know the rules, but we'll beep that out. But
how are you allowed swearing on podcasts?
Are you? So yeah. Loads, that's going to be great. So I rang someone this morning who's got... he's got a marquee business around the UK, and he started a business up for his son driving and delivering sports cars. So marquees, top end sports cars. Mm. I said, Paul, do you want to come on the show? No, I'm old and grumpy and I swear too much. Perfect. I said, I'll get your son on, show you how good it is, and you come on and you will love it. And, you know, I'm going to connect him anyway. I've got a few people that are in the industry, and if they do business together, great. If they don't, great as well. But
yeah,
it's just fun. It's a game, isn't it? It's a buzz, and you know, just get to know what these people do, it but in different industries. So you know, it won't just be finance, it won't just be restaurants, it won't just be leisure, it could be law, it could be all sorts, just to get an insight of people that own a business, what the positives are, what the negatives are, and you know, what do they want to do with it. Yeah. And we get to learn as well. It's like free learning. Brilliant.
It sounds good. Where can I listen to this podcast?
Well, we need to talk after.
You already are.
We haven't made that plan, but if you listen to this first one, you'll see where we go, and you know, it's always going to improve. It's a chat.
But basically, if people know you or they want to get in touch and put themselves forward, this is a great way to showcase your business, 100%. Tell people your story, and you know, find out a bit more about podcasts by being on one and yes. Seeing if this is the sort of thing that you fancy doing yourself. I think there's going to be spin-off podcasts as people decide that they want to do it themselves. But yeah, go for it.
Sounds good. And, you know, look, we'll big Chris up a bit more. If you do want to do a podcast as well, there's a couple of studios in Northampton and Milton Keynes. And if you want to be on the show, drop probably myself an email, stephen@boom7.co.uk. You know, we're nowhere yet, but we've got the desire to try something new, and we're going to chat to a lot of people and make things happen.
Very exciting. Ooh, exciting yeah. Times. Yes. What a great start to 2024.
Yeah, thank you.